Father, we thank you so much for what you are doing in this season. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your faithfulness. Truly, Lamb of God, you are worthy. Thank you. Thank you. We surrender to you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Father, we pray for understanding, and we pray for hearts of obedience. Father, we surrender to you. Truly open our eyes, O God, and help us to hear what your spirit is saying, and give us the grace to walk with you in this season. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Again, welcome everybody. Thank you so much for your passion for God, your hunger for God, and just your life of obedience, being a living sacrifice. God will continue to bless you. Amen. We thank God for this season, the memorial of this Restoration Week we just came from, a major prophetic remembrance in the destiny of the Israel and the church, and also in what God is doing with us even now. So as we continue, I want to feel led to just stay on some of the things that the Lord revealed to us during the 7 days of transitioning, of consecration, to transition into the season. So I really want to stay with those words that we received and what the Lord is saying, and how he's bringing more clarity to these words, so that we will be able to translate what God is saying just from hearing and to manifesting the fruit of it, so that this season can truly be a new season in our life. So I just will continue on this different areas of what the Lord is saying, and I pray that you don't miss it. Let me just begin by sharing just a few things so far before we even go in. You know, sometimes when we have heard so much the word of the Lord, sometimes we become familiar with it. But what helps us, and in God's mercy, God always will begin to give us little glimpses of encounters here and there to help us know that this is truly something, this is truly a breakthrough season, a new season. For example, God spoke to Elijah, and he told him that I'm going to send rain. And then, a few things transpired, with Elijah and the prophets of Baal and different things. And then after that, Elijah now went to the mountain and to seek the Lord. But before then, he spoke prophetically. He said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. So Elijah was speaking based on the fact that he already heard from the Lord before. But then, even though God spoke, and then he's standing in agreement prophetically with the word of the Lord, he still had to go into prayer to release that thing from the spiritual realm into a practical manifestation. So that's the principle. Sometimes God will speak something, it will happen, but there are other things you need to pray into manifestation. Especially, there have not been rain for 3.5 years. The place was dry. Heaven was shut. So when Elijah started pressing it into what he's heard the Lord say, and he started pressing it to release it, he was pressing it, but it looks like things weren't coming through. But God gave Elijah at the seventh time a glimpse through his servant. He went, he said, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. Elijah said, that's enough for me. I already know what this season is. I already know God is bringing rain. I've already heard from the Lord. I believe it. And now I'm praying into it. That sign is enough for me to know the breakthrough. We're entering into it. And Elijah just took off, and God strengthened him so that he will not be cut off by the momentum of the rain in the valleys. So that's a good example on how to embrace prophetic word. If you have a dream, you know without a doubt that dream is God speaking to you. You still have to pray into that. You still have to stand in agreement in prayer. If you have a prophetic word, you pray. If you have a vision, you pray. Some might just be instant happening, but others might be something you partner with God and receive it. And so God will give you the more understanding, more revelation, so that you can walk out that experience. Because many people receive words, or they receive what God is saying, but they never experience it. So this is how you, this is one of the ways you can really press into the season. So for us, as the Lord was speaking about a new season, he's been talking about it and preparing us, as we started consecrating ourselves these 7 days to receive whatever it is, the Lord started speaking. He was showing me a lot of things and others, you know, and I was writing some of these things down and we're just waiting. So now that some of these words have come true, so what we're doing now is God gave us the key on how to stay positioned in the spirit for continuous flow into the season, and that's to stay in the place of worship as a key. So as we stayed, God is still just dropping and just moving and confirming things. So I can tell you without a doubt, we are really in a new season. You know, like you know that happens every year in the natural. Now, some examples of what has been happening. A few weeks before, you know, just while we're into this season of consecration, for example, there was somebody that was just worshiping, and the person literally saw Jesus. That's the first time ever. A very precious Caucasian lady. And she was just in worship. She didn't even know she was in the presence of the Lord. And the Lord was there. And just the embrace and the love, she's overwhelmed. Her life has been wrecked by this reality. She's never the same now. And then another person, while we were in worship in another service, she literally heard the audible voice of angels singing with us. Heard it audibly from one side, and later the song moved to the other. You know, we're talking about the seasons of encounters, manifestation. These things are happening not for entertainment. It's an evidence of something God is doing in our midst. It's an impartation, it's transformation, it's circumcision, God is doing something. The flow is taking place. Then some people are beginning to have even just the presence of God just rest upon them, even at home. They just feel this weight of God's glory. And then me personally, I've had two major deep, you know, encounter with the Lord in my heart. You know, I will get to that later. Now, yesterday, we were in a service last night. I'm not saying this about what's happening here. I'm just saying this to awaken you to you spending time in worship in your church or with your prayer group or however, and be open, because this is an open heaven in this season. So now, yesterday, we were in a service and we're just in worship. And in the middle of the worship, there was a prophetic word that the Lord was just moving and walking in the midst of us. Just, you know, God was revealing this, and the Lord was moving in our midst and just with us, literally moving. You know, when you hear these things, people will just, you know, they will worship, they will embrace it, will go. But the reason why God puts, you know, prophetic gifts or puts visions in our midst is to encourage us to know that the things that are happening in the spirit are real. You know, and when we hear these things, we embrace it by faith. So, but to encourage us, like I'm saying, Elijah had that sign of a cloud before the rain. To encourage us, there was a young girl, a student, was here. At the end of the service, I saw how she was so happy, but nothing. So when we left, she texted me, said, "Pastor, I need to share this with you." He said, "You remember when the word was going on that the Lord was walking among us?" He said she's never had this experience before, because some people will lie on the floor, some people will be walking, worshiping. She was on the floor, and she literally saw a glorious feet walking, and was white where she was from the door side. And she was looking at this feet, and she knew in that vision it was the Lord's feet. But she wanted to touch it. She was afraid, and she stepped back. And then the prophetic word was going on the same time. Say, "Okay, touch it by faith." So she immediately just bowed at her feet and started worshiping. You know, and just that's how people are just receiving, just things happening. And these are indicators of this new season. And we're saying seasons of encounter. These are things some people have never experienced before. They didn't even know they can have these kinds of visitation. But this is just the trickling in, the droppings of what this new season is bringing. The few things that God has done in my heart, but mostly what happened on Easter, this resurrection Sunday, we started Saturday. You know, the Passover, you know, started on Good Friday, and then transition, you know, to Saturday. That Saturday early in the morning, we had all night prayers at Friday night. Saturday early in the morning, it's like this still small voice, very clear inside of my spirit. He just spoke. He said, from Abraham to Abraham, Abraham is giving birth to Abraham, and from Jacob to Israel, Jacob gave birth to Israel. So God will speak to me like that, and once he speaks like that, then he begins to explain. So basically, when he said that, immediately I just waited to hear, and then God started giving interpretation and understanding, and that's when it was very clear. God is saying, this is a new season. Just as Abraham came into that experience and God changed his name. The change of name, you know, when you are born, they give you a name. So for God to give him a new name and call him Abraham from Abraham means God was definitely telling him, you've entered a new season. You cannot be Abraham anymore. It was when he was Abraham that Sarah became pregnant after 25 years of waiting. It was when he was Abraham, that new season, that quickening from the old to the new, released the quickening power and the manifestation of the promise, and that new season started bringing forth fruit. The same thing happened when Jacob encountered the angel. There was a shift from Jacob to Israel. And at the moment he became Israel, he met Esau, and obviously he ruled over him. So that was a new season, and it started prevailing. So God used that. And then Sunday night, as we were in worship, the prophetic word was coming, and God was confirming things by two or three witnesses that we have truly entered a new season. You know, sometimes I don't say anything, but when I hear God speak through other people, I see it as a confirmation, and that solidifies what God is doing. So I'm sharing all this just to let you embrace and be open to God invading your life and transitioning you to a new level of operation, new level of relationship, new level of walking with God in your identity in this new season. So some of the words we've received, as we expound on them, you will be able to see how to prayerfully connect with every one of these prophetic release for this new season. Now, the one that I want to bring tonight just is that we talked about God is saying we are moving from we're coming out of the church of the wilderness, from the wilderness into promise. So for example, until Abraham was the name he had when he came out of his father's house, and the promise was given to him from that time that he will be father of nations. He will have, of course, God will give him a land and stuff. But when he came out, he still answered that name for 24 years. It was that when he was 99, he had that last encounter where God changed his name. The change of name was not, God did that to cause him to embrace what has happened inside of him. And how what has happened inside of him is already shifted the spiritual atmosphere around him. And what is, because the spiritual atmosphere is shifted, is now entering into a new level of manifestation of promises. What does that mean? For example, the wilderness or the place of preparation or training is the place where you are dying to coming out of Egypt as a human physically, but in your heart, God is building a new person, a faith person, by preparing you into your promise. So for Abraham's days, the way it happened is this: God gave him a word, and that word was a promise. So from that moment, Abraham was pregnant. Unknown to him, he was pregnant with a promise. He was pregnant with a promise. Just as a woman gets pregnant with a child, Abraham was pregnant with a promise. So his name is Abraham. So he kept answering Abraham, but he didn't know inside of him there was the promise was growing, faith was being built. So all this while he was living as Abraham, he was in wilderness, he was in preparation. What was being prepared, what was being trained, he was dying to what he can physically see and believe, but inside of him, God was raising faith where he would only believe what God says, not what he sees. So the more Abraham looks in the natural, he looks and he sees that he's getting old and Sarah's womb is dying, his human ability is saying it's never going to happen physically. But on the inside, he did not know that a mystery was taking place. Abraham was developing, just like a child in the womb. And that's the man of faith. So when that development inside has matured, faith has matured, the spirit man, his faith man has matured. We don't know it, God knows it. That's what happens during trials. Just like a woman pregnant. In the natural, the woman is pregnant, the child is maturing because it's natural. But when the child matures enough to come out, we call it the birthing, and the woman is separated from the child. So that was what happened to Abraham. At that, Genesis 17, Abraham inside has matured, the man of faith. But the man of the physical, Abraham, is looking at the natural, everything is impossible. But on the inside, the man that God is raising, the one that God, the seed that God sowed in him, has matured. The word Abraham means father of many. And that's the promise God gave him. So, at that place of maturity, God already knows Abraham has now passed his wilderness training. And truly, his son, somebody inside of him has grown. And that's why God says, now, I will change your name. Abraham dies from now. You separate him, circumcise him. He will no more detect to your life. Now I call you Abraham. The promise inside of you has matured. And that person, that name, is what you're going to answer from now on. So that you can now live out your destiny from this point. The man of faith. And as soon as God gave him that name, God also changed Sarah's name. And God told him Sarah will become pregnant. He laughed. But then what happened? Exactly that cycle of time. Sarah became pregnant by Abraham, and Isaac was born, and the promise continued. So, the same way, when we receive a dream or a promise or the word of the Lord, also you remember it happened to Jacob from his mother's womb, a nation was inside of him. It was a promise God told Rebekah, the mother. But he was carrying Israel inside of him. He didn't know, but he was living as Jacob. It was until after so many years that has come to maturity through the lives, his trials and the life was living. He now encountered this angel, wrestled, and there was a shift. And that shift in the spirit was shifted in his heart, and there was a change. If he didn't encounter an angel, he wouldn't have known. The angel now said, your name has been changed. You are Israel. You've given birth. You prevailed. When a name is given to something, means something has been born. That's why they give it a name. So usually when something is born and something happens like that, it always begins in the spirit. It's a sign that in the spirit, a season is come. And the past people in the physical that God is working with now begins to walk into it. So in God's mercy, he used people like Abraham and like Jacob to give us understanding of these things. Like Paul was changed. So all this was to help us, but we have to receive it by faith. Amen? So from that moment, Abraham started moving in a different dimension. The spiritual climate has changed. From that moment, Jacob changed to Israel. He started moving in a different dimension. The spiritual climate has changed. Esau started bowing to him. So, in this new season where we are, just like the children of Israel, they were in the wilderness. During the reign of Moses, there were people that were being trained in the wilderness. All of them, people like Joshua and Caleb, they have not come into their season of assignment yet, but they were serving what God was doing in the wilderness. And while they were serving, they were also being prepared. They were also being trained. So when Moses died, God now raised up Joshua and said, Joshua, now arise. Moses' season has ended. The wilderness season has ended. Your training is ended. 40 years of training. Now it's time for you now to lead the people into a new season. And that season began the first month of the Hebrew. This season we just went into. Now, this is how the new seasons work. Now, let's move quickly to the New Testament. Because your understanding of this season, it will transform everything about you in this year. Like we're already sensing it. Now, let's move to New Testament before we continue. Going from wilderness which is training, to a place of preparation, to the place of entering your promise. Just like it happened with these people I mentioned, with Moses and Joshua, the same thing happened with Jesus and his disciples. While the ministry of Jesus was still taking place, there were people under Jesus' ministry, called his disciples, that were being prepared. Even though they were serving, they were ministering, they were doing things, but it was all part of preparation. It was all part of training. So when the time of Jesus was over, there was a transition that took place on this day. We call it Passion Week we just came from. Why was it a new season? It was the season where Jesus closed the chapter of the fulfilled the law. You know, before Jesus died on the cross, the children of Israel still dependent on the sacrifice of bulls and goats. They were still under the Abrahamic law, under the Moses law. You know, they sacrificed bulls and goats. They still were natural temples and all these things. Jesus fulfilled all that. So, and God was still only working with the Jews then, Israel then. So when Jesus came and fulfilled that, dying on the cross, Jesus was able to close, defeat sin, defeat death, paid the full price. This season we just came from, this first month, paid the full price for sin. On that cross, he died. He closed the chapter to the old, and he opened the chapter to the new covenant with his blood. He closed the chapter of the blood of animals and opened the chapter of the blood of the Lamb, the Son of God. And the blood of the Lamb now opened a completely unknown season. And that season started with him on Resurrection Day. So the Bible says he became the first of the first fruit. Actually, Hebrews 12 says it's called the church of the firstborn. He is the firstborn from the dead. So now that quickening that took place, that resurrection power, was the introduction of a new season. But most people, most Jews, will not embrace the new season because this new season is spiritual, it's not physical. You cannot attain it with your physical eyes. You have to receive it by faith. So when they couldn't receive it by faith, for 40 days from resurrection, Jesus started appearing to the people, sharing with them about this new season, about the kingdom of God. And then later told them to go wait so that they can receive the promise in this season. You see? So those that understood that a new season has come, Jesus was the first of the first fruit. He was sharing about this new season to them and telling them about the kingdom of God. And told them to go wait. Why? They went and prayed and waited so that they can receive the promise of the new season. The same thing Elijah did. God said there will be rain. He didn't just sit. He went and prayed to receive it. He went and prayed to receive it. So as Jesus told them, they wait and waited and prayed into this new season. And guess what happened? That's what we call the birth of the church. From that day, what happened? The same resurrection power that took Jesus from death to life happened to the disciples. They went from death to life, to sons of God. So today, we still experience that resurrection power. You know, our new season is when we got born again. We went from death to life. We went from sinners to saints by the righteousness that is in the blood of Jesus. So that's when we experience our resurrection power. We went from darkness to light, from death to life. But then there's levels to grow from glory to glory into new seasons as God develops us. So that's how Jesus coming again introduced a new season in this season that we are in, this first month of the year, of the prophetic year. He introduced a new season. And those who were sensitive, they became the first fruits of it. Later, other people caught up. But those who were sensitive, they were able to embrace the new season. They prayed into it, they received it, and they started manifesting the fruit of it. And the outpouring that took place. Because it was a new season. Absolutely new dispensation. A shift came. So the same way as God shifted in Abraham's days, shifted bringing new things in Jacob's life and so many things. The same thing God is doing in our lives every year. But this particular year, there is a major shift. It's not those kind of yearly seasonal fruits changing we do, but there's a major shift that is taking place this year. And that's what we are going to be looking at based on what the Lord has shared, so that we can pray to walk in it, to receive it, to be the first fruits of this new season, to embrace it, to walk in it, so that we'll not stay in the old like some of the Pharisees and the old people were still holding on to the old covenant, and they could not embrace what was happening with the apostles and God started moving in a new way. So the first thing that you need to start praying into is for God to move you from the place, from where you've been, whether it's a training, whether it's your wilderness, whatever trials, to move you to the place of promise. For you to start embracing the promises of God, destined, tailored to your life, called your ministry, or whatever area you've been believing God. So you can start praying into those promises that have been lying fallow for years. Those things that have not happened for a long time. Those things that you've given up on. This is the time God is saying, pray into them. Embrace them, pray into them. This is the season. Like Abraham, he waited many years, but this was the season the promises started coming true. Amen. So pray into the promises of God that is given to you a long time. You've not seen the results. This is a season to pray into it. To pray into it. Then there's another aspect of, we're still going to be talking more about this. Then there's another aspect I want to bring to your attention, is a season of divine visitation. Whenever God brings in a new season, visitation starts taking place. You will see it, like I was telling you, that new season brought visitation into Jacob's life. Unusual visitation. Then Abraham, as soon as that experience happened, it was the same. If you go read it, Genesis 17, he had that encounter, his name was changed. Genesis 18, the next thing, Abraham had eight angels and the Lord walking by. He had a little visitation, and Sarah experienced that part, and things started happening. Zechariah, all these people had their seasons where promises are to be birthed. After years of praying, they start receiving visitation. So like I shared a few testimonies with you, people are already getting glimpses, what I'll call little beginnings of visitations. So we're in the season of divine visitation, where God will be consolidating your destiny and your calling, your assignment. Then one other thing I want to share before I bring in another picture, before we pray into, because there are so many of them, we'll be going through all of them one by one, and we can't cover them in every night. Now, is one area you need to really be praying into is the purpose for which you were born. See, God walks us into different seasons of our life. I use Moses for example. Moses experienced three levels of dispensational season, not just the normal yearly season. The first 40 years, he lived his life in Egypt, just like everybody else. Even though he knew he had a call. You do your job, your this, your that. The next 40 years was a training, wilderness training. The last 40 years was assignment, fulfill assignment, specifically fulfilling assignment. So, just like that, you see the disciples in the Bible. They had regular jobs, they had this, they had that. But the season came, they were called into training by Jesus. Then the next season, they were trained by Jesus, they went into the assignment. So, Jeremiah, God made it very clear. Before he was born, God knew him. And while he was in mother's womb, there was an assignment for him to fulfill. So every one of us, based on the examples that are in this Bible, we are not just born to just roam around this earth and live. Just do a few things here and live. Do great jobs. God gives us seasons to do all this. And some of these seasons are part of our training, our spiritual discipline. But there comes a time where God demands specifically for you to zero into that assignment. The very purpose for which you were injected into this generation. That's what you are going to give an account for. And that's what Paul says, I finished it. Now a crown awaits me. So, in this season, God is calling every believer, all of you, all of us, to pray into the revelation and the encounter for the very purpose. Not just you were born, but if you go further, the reason you are in America for such a time as this. Don't just entertain, just leave it. See, God is calling you to a new level. John has been in ministry all his life, but even at the last days of his life, as much as he's experienced God on the island of Patmos, even towards his old age, God still took him to a new level. He said, John, come up higher. I want to show you more. And took him and showed him levels he's never experienced. And that's what's called the book of Revelation. So God is calling us higher. And the reason I'm sharing this with you is God is saying, don't settle. God has the capacity to reveal to you not just who you are, but the assignment, how you fit into the grand, the big picture of what God is about to do and what he's doing in these last days. Amen? So pray into it. Seek God for it so that you are established in the revelation of not just who you are, but why you are here and the assignment you are to fulfill before the Lord comes. That's a high calling. Many people don't bother about things like this. Now, let me just leave the rest, and then let me tell you what just happened to me as we're in this new season. As we're seeking, praying, this is every time I'll just take a little time away and just wait on the Lord and be praying. So yesterday morning, today is Wednesday. I think it was Tuesday morning. Wednesday early morning. Today, actually early morning. I was in my devotion, just waiting on the Lord. And I am so consumed about this new season. In my spirit, you know, I don't show it outwardly. Of course, we're doing things. But in my spirit, I'm taking it very seriously. I'm saying, just waiting every moment per moment. And the Lord started showing me something. He says, in this new season, the first thing he showed to me was the book of Acts, chapter 1. Let me read it to you. It says, Acts chapter 1. This was after Jesus rose from the dead. Okay? And the disciples had been with him. But as he was activating this new season, he was the first begotten from the dead. And he knows exactly what this new season is. Look at what Jesus did. Acts 1. He says, verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, has given commandments unto the apostles whom he has chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and listen to this, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And once the Lord showed me this, all of a sudden something exploded inside of me. And God started laying, interpreting this. Immediately, Jesus rose from the dead. He was now, you can't see him in the flesh. He appears in his glorified form to them. So people in the natural can't see him. So just like what God is doing now. The first thing Jesus did for 40 days before he left finally was to bring understanding of the season to them. But what was his emphasis? His emphasis was on the kingdom of God. And immediately God opened my eyes and said, son, this new season is the season where I'm going to restore the understanding of why the church is here and what the church really is and the revelation of the kingdom. Do you know that every preaching, you all have heard Brother John Abraham emphasizing on this a lot. But the Lord told me, says, the focus from now on is to be on the kingdom. The revelation of the kingdom, the sons of the kingdom, the children of the kingdom, the authority of the kingdom, just the benefit, everything to do about the kingdom of God. He says the understanding of the kingdom and the understanding of your identifying with the kingdom, the citizen of the kingdom, will give you a proper understanding of your place of authority in this new season. He says the devil has stolen, giving us a totally a different mindset. So we're just living as Christians, living as believers, but we are not living as kingdom citizens. We're not really having a kingdom mindset relating to who we are as believers. So God says, I'm restoring a new mindset. And it's going to be a kingdom mindset. For example, do you know every preaching Jesus did? If you go to Matthew chapter 9 from verse 35, all his teachings are on the kingdom of God. His preachings are on the kingdom of God. The first things he will begin to say, the kingdom of God is here. Then you go to Matthew chapter 10. The first thing when he was commissioning, he says, he called them as disciples first. Then he says, he sent them, these apostles, he sent them forth. What did he tell them? He said, go and preach. The kingdom of God is at hand. And then every time he talks about commissioning, everything is about. So now, when he died, after all is done before he died, the last message, the last teaching, the last training he gave to them before he left, was specifically on the kingdom of God. So the Lord says, this new season, there will be clear understanding of the kingdom of God and who we are as sons and daughters of this kingdom and the place of authority and dominion God wants to restore. God is going to restore authority and dominion and power back in the church, but the church is not a building, like you all know. The church is almost like a mini embassy. We are missionaries. See, the moment you get saved, you know, there's a transition that goes from you just living as a human being to, you know, like what happened to Abraham, that shift that took place in his life. See, God is about to awaken our assignment in the earth so that we don't settle as earthly citizens. We have that understand. We have that citizenship to relate with the earth, but we now operate out of the maturity of our inner man, the fullness of the stature of Christ in us, and we begin to operate in the assignment as missionaries. A missionary is somebody sent on a mission from his place to another place as an assignment. When you are sent for a mission, you become a missionary. So you're not that place, you know, you don't just go there to just leave. You relate, you leave, but you know you are on assignment. You are there to fulfill a mission. That's what the whole thing about commissioning is to fulfill a mission. It's intentionally to fulfill a mission. So in this season, God is going to renew and revitalize our understanding of the kingdom of God. And the way the Lord showed it to me, he said, that's why I've been teaching you. The whole teaching is our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come. The whole prayer should be referenced through the kingdom of God. And based on thy kingdom come, the revelation of the kingdom, our assignment is to enforce the will of God on earth as it is in heaven, based on the various gifts. So we're going to be looking at all this, but these are things to shift us into this new season with a different mindset and with a different expectation for assignment. So that's where SLPN is going, and that's where we are preparing for. That's why I've been waiting, and God is clarifying the path to dominion and authority in this next season. So we'll be discussing this, and I encourage you to embrace this in prayer seriously so you begin to experience this and share testimonies like people are sharing. Thank you so much for coming on the line. We'll continue next week by God's grace. I would like to yield the time so we can pray into a few of these things before we close tonight. God bless you all.